Single Fork is back with season six.
Season six, 2021.
2021. Happy New Year.
Happy year.
Happy year. Oh, happy year. Yes, this is Candace Conley.
And I'm Natalia Banjak.
And we are your hosts.
Yes, we are.
For this food
journey.
A lot
has changed, but that has not.
No, our food journey remains the same.
Yep.
We're still just disrupting the shit out of everything. So here we go.
Here we go.
It took us, I mean, and we were talking about in season five, you know, where we're going to go with season six, what we're going to talk about.
Well, we still have to keep in mind that we're still in a pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Things have changed. I mean, talk about things have changed everywhere. They may never go back to the way they used to be.
Nope.
I don't know. Maybe some of things, maybe it's good they don't go back the way they used to be.
I think some things you're correct.
Yes.
100%.
So we decided that we were going to talk about how people's food lives, cooking lives, changed with the pandemic.
With staying at home, with maybe having a little more free time.
With not being able to go to restaurants.
Yeah, not being able to go out to eat, being limited on what you even can order.
Exactly.
You know, all those things. I mean, that changed for a lot of people. And it was shocking for a lot of people, too, because, I mean, we know a lot of people that never cook at home, ever.
Right. Never.
So.
And they had to start doing
They had
that.
To do something.
Yeah.
And like I said, even a lot of the restaurants were closed for a period of time. So it's not even. I mean, what are you going to order pizza every fucking night? No.
Well, no, I would hope not. But I'm sure that some people do.
Well, and how. And I also like I think it'd be interesting to find out, like, how did it like did people. Some people gained weight during the pandemic. I know a lot of people that lost weight because they were like, it's so funny. I think a lot
they
of people
started eating healthy
with corporate jobs or like that were super busy, didn't have time to take their lunches or take their breakfast or take this or even be conscious about what they were eating. They just grab and go.
Right, right.
You know, and now they had time to actually think about that. So I know some people that have lost like, I mean, I hate those people. Fuck them. But lost weight. They look great. They've taken like that opportunity to take like a healthy journey.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure it helped their mind too during all this bullshit.
Yeah. So we've been coming up with questions that we're going to do interviews again this season.
Yes.
That's probably the most important thing that we need to tell you is it's going to be different. Not different. It's going to be like season four.
Yeah.
When we did the interviews for Tell Me a Food Story, this is going to be more like your food journey.
Right.
During
COVID. And
these
are just going to be normal, regular people, not anybody that anybody knows. I mean, they'll tell you.
Just
they
everyday
are.
People.
Everyday people.
People like you.
People on the streets.
People
we're
going like
to go beat the streets
just like
and find
your
people.
Our listeners.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, they are.
So there's one story that I want to tell that happened, and I was trying to find the message thread on Facebook because we had a. I know she watches us on Facebook Live when we do the.
I have no idea where this is going.
The online event. The woman with the turkey.
Oh, okay.
Melissa, I believe.
Yes, yes.
Melissa messaged me on Facebook about...
Over Christmas.
Well, before Christmas, the holiday.
The holidays.
Because she was doing a turkey for the first time.
Yes.
So that's one of the things that we're going to be talking to people about is what did you do for the first time that you've never done
cooked
because of the pandemic? Because mm-hmm. if everybody could have gotten together, she wouldn't have been cooking the turkey.
Right. Somebody else would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... She came to a class where the Ina Garten class,
yeah.
where we do Ina's skillet roasted lemon chicken.
And we, God, I apparently not have enough coffee because I was going to say spurlunked it. Jesus, God.
Spatchcock. We spatchcock it.
Spatchcock. It's such a good word. And I know it. I know that word.
It's part of our vocabulary. Spatchcock. So we spatchcock the chicken.
But it's not a very big chicken.
No. And she had a very large turkey because her son...
Oh, yeah. In the play.
Her 75-pound son, who obviously is probably, what, eight, maybe? Obviously a child. God, I hope he's a child.
Maybe he's just a dwarf.
I don't know.
We can't discriminate.
You can't say. You can't talk about that. You have to call them a little person.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't know what the right... I thought dwarf was the right word.
No, it's not.
Well, we can't discriminate. Maybe he's a little person.
Okay. So, anyway, he was Tiny Tim. No... Was he Tiny mm-hmm. Tim? He was Tiny mm-hmm. Tim. Okay, so...
Like in the school play or something,
yes,
right?
Yes. And so he had to have the... I mean, he had to have a giant turkey. So she just bought one instead of making one.
Yeah, she said that she was being... someone said, you know, oh, can you go ahead and just make a turkey? And she's like, no, I'm not fucking crafty at all. I'm just going to go buy one. So she bought like a how many pound turkey?
A 25 pound turkey.
For her little person.
Yes, to carry. The poor little thing had to carry it. I'm still trying to find the... The feed.
So she tells us this. Well, she tells Candace this whole story, and then she's like, which I like her thinking, because then she's like, I killed two birds basically, because then she's like, then I have a turkey to cook for Christmas.
Exactly.
And it's not just a bunch of paper.
But she wanted to spatchcock it,
the turkey, and I think we were both like, oh, like how would you do that? Like yeah. with a big, well, that's a turkey. I mean, that's a big fucking bird.
I mean, even a 13 pound turkey would be a challenge to spatchcock, I think. But she was, I've lost that message. I'm really sad.
She was bound and determined to spatchcock this turkey. So she's like, how would you suggest that I do this? Because I think the recipe too is really nice with the lemon and the fennel. And
it's delicious.
It's really nice. And so she had that and she kind of wanted to recreate it with this giant bird.
And I was all in on that.
What did she end up using? It wasn't, because we used scissors. We used like...
she used garden shears.
Are you supposed to use?
I don't know.
I mean, even a knife wouldn't do it.
No. I mean, because the bones are so much, you know,
bigger and thicker. Yeah.
And, well, I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure it's Melissa, but I'm sorry, Melissa, I've lost our message, thread. Doggone it. I was going to read some of it.
It was really funny. It was really entertaining. She did it. She did it.
And we got a report back
and
that
pictures.
It turned out really well.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, she did a great job and she just kind of was the poster child
for what we're going to talk about this season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So doing things that you thought you would never have to do or need to do or whatever.
Or even thought. About doing.
Yeah, like, never. Yeah. So things not only just have things in general changed, but, you know, cooking just falls into that category. So we're going to talk to people about, were you excited to be able to, you know, cook more at home, try things that you've never tried before.
And if so, what were those things?
Yeah. So did you do any of that?
I did in the very beginning. You know, everyone was on this like bread kick. I didn't fucking make bread, but, you know, it was one of those things where like, cause we actually shut down for 2 months. So then I was even like, what do I fucking do with myself? Like, I'm not working and my house is clean. I've cleaned the baseboards, like the cabinets, the face of the cabinet. Like, I'm sure everybody, right? Like, you drink a pot of coffee in the morning and you're like, what the fuck do I do now? I'll just clean the face of my cabinets.
I'm going to clean the baseboards with a toothbrush.
Yeah, like a 1920s housewife. Like, what the fuck? And sweat because I've drank so much coffee and then get done with that and then go through my shit and donate it all to Goodwill and then think, oh my God, am I giving people a Goodwill, like, coronavirus? Like, can I even donate this shit? So anyway, I think we all did some of that. But that's good because when do we ever do that kind of stuff? And when do we have time? And like I told everybody, if you don't fucking do it now, when things do kind of get back to normal or you do have to go back to work, or you're going to be like, damn it, why didn't I do that stupid shit then?
Yeah.
That stupid little shit that does take a little bit of time that you always, it's always in the back of your mind that you need to do it, but you never get around to doing it because life's so fucking busy.
Yeah.
So we're off for 2 months and I think, you know, it is... I think I came over to your house and it smells so nice. And, you know, Candace, when she's home, she'll cook and the house smells good. And I think about that and it's like, I never do that kind of shit. Like, I don't wake up and start cooking or cook in the middle of the afternoon like my grandmother did. Like, she'd be really disappointed in me, but that's okay. She doesn't have to see it. So I was like, maybe I could do like some kind of like a, cause it's also nice to have like one of those, like, what do you call them? Quick breads?
Yeah.
Like a banana bread or like a chocolate, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And you know, like if you had a garden and you had like 9 million zucchini and you'd make zucchini bread.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice to have that on the counter and you can nibble during the day or have it for breakfast or, you know, and I don't have that kind of shit at my house. Like, I just don't do that.
Yeah.
And, I was like, oh, maybe I'll do this. So I went to Trader Joe's and I got this. I just got a mix because I'm not a fucking baker. And I actually did buy flour, baking soda, baking powder, and sugar I think I bought sugar one time in my life before, but those three things I've never purchased for my home before.
Wow.
Flour, baking powder, and baking soda.
Okay.
Because I don't need those to fucking cook.
Well, that's true.
You just need them to bake.
Yeah.
And then they had this box mix and it was like chocolate quinoa bread loaf thing. And I thought, well, that seems healthy. I can fucking make that. Add some eggs. It's good. Get home. I'm making it. You know how we always tell you, I think we do the, at least I do as I say, not as I do kind of shit. You know, make sure you have all your stuff.
Yeah.
So I make this bread thing, cake, mm-hmm. and I realize I don't have a pan to put this in. Like, I don't have any baking. I have measuring spoons.
Yeah.
But that, I don't have any baking pans.
I don't think
pans.
You can bake in that.
So I baked in my Dutch oven.
Well, but you know what? That back on in the check wagon days out on the trail, they would bake in the Dutch oven.
So you're telling me I should have made like a fire in my chimney and put the Dutch oven, or dug a hole in my backyard and like set it on fire?
Well, no. What I'm saying is that a Dutch oven is not a bad substitute for a cake pan.
Well, I found that out and it actually turned out fine. I was just laughing so hard because I don't have any, I have a sheet pan. You know, yeah. Because we use sheet pans for everything. But I don't have any kind of cake pan.
Yeah.
At all. Well, I think maybe the muffin pan you gave me from the kitchen. So I contemplated making little baby ones, but then I would fuck those up. So I did it in the Dutch oven and it turned out fine. And I did a couple of them, but it just made me laugh. So that was kind of my thing that I tried that I don't usually.
Well, you have to be creative.
Yeah.
You know, come up with something new.
Right.
So that's, I think
and
that's
use what you have.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, in so many ways, like, I mean, I have two bookshelves full of books and one day I was looking at them and I thought, why the fuck do I have all these books? I haven't even read them. So I started reading them.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of shit.
Found like, anything you've really enjoyed?
Yeah. Like I've enjoyed quite a few of them, but then I can donate them when I'm done. And then my bookshelf's clean.
That's I love win-win. That part. Yeah. I love that part. I used to be a book keeper. Every book I read, I kept. So I had volumes volumes of books.
Would you read them again?
Not very often.
Why'd you keep them?
Because I just love books. And so I would just keep them. It's like I have all these cookbooks and
Cookbooks are different.
I'll peruse for a while. But I have hundreds of cookbooks.
Well, and listen, I've told my friends too, like we're going on a tangent here about what the fuck we did over COVID. But I also found a new love. I was like, ooh, I could go to the library. Well, the fucking library was shut down. But that doesn't mean that I couldn't drive through and pick up books. Man, my summer reading list, I would have won that ice cream cone. Like... I read a lot of books in those 2 months that we were at home and baked some loaves in the Dutch oven.
Well, I
did you do anything new?
Let me back up. I always made at Christmas time, I would make chicken liver pate, which
delicious.
Is really a mousse. It's a chicken liver mousse and it is really good. And the place that I first had chicken liver pate was at the Chalkboard back in, it had to be the early 80s when the Chalkboard was, it was owned by, I think the guy's name was John Phillips and it was associated with the oil and gas business back in the day. And it was where it is right now.
Yeah.
And the Chalkboard was one of like the first fine dining places I ever went when I was in graduate school. So a friend of mine and I came over to Tulsa. We were in Stillwater. We came over to Tulsa to have a nice dinner. And this was like, one of those... chef's gifts that just comes to the table and you have this little tiny ramekin of chicken liver pate mousse. And I'd never had it before. Oh my God. It was the most delicious
you loved it right
thing
away.
I ever had.
Wow.
And so I thought I have to make this. So I started looking for recipes and then I came upon finally this recipe it's an adaptation of the one from the Silver Palette from the 80s. So I make this.
Well, because that's kind of an 80s thing. Like people, that's not a.
Yeah, people
current...
really do. It's not something that people have a lot anymore.
Yeah.
But it's too bad because it's delicious.
It is delicious.
So I had always made that kind of pate, but I had never made. Like a French country pate.
Because it takes like hours, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, it's not, it has a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Plus it's French and I don't do a lot of French cooking anymore. So I thought, okay, I am going to find a recipe for country pâté, and I'm going to go through the process of making a French country pâté.
It was time-consuming.
It was time-consuming.
Right? Yeah. I remember it taking the day.
It took a couple of days, actually, because it has to be weighted, and you have to wrap it in bacon, and then you have to bake it for hours, and, you know.
And then you have to unwrap it.
You have to unwrap it.
Take the bacon off.
All that.
And then put the bacon back on again, yeah, and then take the bacon off.
And actually, Natalia documented a lot of the end result of.
Is that on our Patreon? Where did that end up?
I posted one of the pictures on Facebook to tell people about the season for mm-hmm. Not a Single Fork this coming season. But I think that's the only place it's ended up. They've just been kind of
hanging out.
Well,
maybe we should put it on Patreon, and then you have to be a member to see it.
Well,
there you go.
There's that.
And come on, guys. There's we're so excited because we've got over 5,000.
Over 5,000 downloads.
Yeah. And that's pretty fucking cool. We're excited by that.
The way that, I don't remember who you were telling this, that we had that many downloads.
Colton.
Yeah. And he was like, okay, well, is that good? And it's like, well, that means that more than just our moms and dads listen to
us. It's more than just our friends and family that listen. It's people out there that we don't fucking know.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that. Yeah. But we do have a Patreon page. Don't forget about us there.
And we have a lot of, and there, if you sign up at one of the higher levels, there are I've got monthly videos that pop up, and you just kind of get them spontaneously. The last one had to do with pizza making at Christmas time my daughter and my soon to be son-in-law.
That was eventful.
Yeah, and actually...
A little disastrous.
And actually, Tiffany commented on it, said, we need more videos just like this one.
Yes, okay, Tiffany. we'll do that.
Yeah.
So how did your pâté turn out?
Well, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing, too. I tried it.
And the thing is it lasts forever in so many ways, because, first of all, it's big.
Well, there's a shit ton of it.
You do it in a loaf pan,
yeah,
but it's rich.
Right, so you can't eat a lot of it.
You can't eat a lot of it.
But what preserves it?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it is preserved. And maybe it's all the fat.
Oh, lots of fat.
Yeah, I think it must be all the fat that preserves it, you know, because that's what they used to do back in the day, is that they would cover things with fat.
To preserve it.
To preserve it, so it has to be something like
I'm
that.
I'm very well preserved. God, I'll be just fine through this pandemic.
We'll all be fine.
We'll all be well preserved.
Yes.
So we'll ask people, you know, did they make anything like that that was a success? That was maybe not a success. Maybe they had
some disasters. We had a lot of people making sourdough bread.
I know, people got on this fucking bread wagon. And I tell you what, there is nothing like the smell of fresh bread. And there's nothing like fresh fucking bread that comes out of the oven and you put some butter on it and it just melts on there and you eat it all and then you're a whale.
I remember when I was a kid and I had an aunt who baked bread all the time, and she would, and I would be there occasionally when it would come out of the oven. These were just white loaves. I mean, it was
like little bowls or
no,
in a loaf pan,
but it was just white bread.
Uh-huh.
But oh my God, it was like egg. It was like egg bread or challah or something, you know, something like that. It was just amazing.
So yummy.
And so
you still
delicious.
Remember that, of course.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that happening.
Yes. And I think we have some people who we're going to be talking to who did sourdough.
And sourdough is
it's unkind.
If you want to make the hardest fucking bread to make possible,
yeah,
sourdough.
Sourdough would be it.
And for me, I'm like, if you've never fucking made something before, let's start with a
white bread.
Yeah, or something simple.
A baguette.
Something simple.
Yeah.
Like, let's work our way up to that. But I guess, whatever.
Well, again, you have all this time and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I have always wondered about how you make sourdough bread.
No, I've never thought that.
I have never thought that myself. But, you know, and I used to bake a lot of bread, but I've never had any interest in making a sourdough starter or, you know, messing with all that shit. I never had any interest in any of that.
Yeah. But some people maybe did some of these things and they're like, shit, why don't I do this more often?
Yeah.
And maybe they'll keep it in their repertoire.
Well, and that's another thing that we want to know is, will you continue to do this mm-hmm. now that you know how, and assuming it was successful, will you continue to keep this in your cooking
or
repertoire?
Or is there shit you've done that you're like, I will never fucking do that again.
And we never
wanna hear
again.
That. We want to hear that too.
Oh, for absolutely.
Sure. So we're going to ask about that. And like Candace said, these are just, you know, street people on the streets. We're just going to pick them
everyday
up, put them
people.
In our cars, yeah. drive them home.
Yeah. Come here. Come on, be in our podcast. They're like, what?
What? Are you kidnapping me? Yes. Get in the car. So there's probably been a lot of change for people when it comes to food.
Well, I would. Yeah. I mean, because we are or have been a restaurant driven society.
For sure.
And so it's been so hard on our restaurants. And I mean, obviously everyday people it's been hard on, but you know, the restaurants are struggling.
Yeah.
That's another question. Will you go back to the restaurants? I mean, are you chomping at the bit to get back into the restaurants?
Yeah. To get out into the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
You know, there's a lot of, we have a lot of questions.
We have a lot of questions.
Well, we usually do have a lot of questions.
But so. It should be fun. We've got some fun people lined up.
Some people that you may have heard of.
Yes. Throughout the last few seasons.
Yes.
Just sprinkled in.
Just their names and you'll get to know them a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And then some people who are just friends
randos.
Of ours. Or,
randos.
You know, that rando people that we think are interesting and have an interesting story to tell. Because really, everyone kind of has an interesting story
everybody
to tell.
Everybody does, no matter who you are or what you do.
Yeah, and that's kind of what all this is
and
about.
Everybody fucking eats food.
Everyone eats food.
I mean, it doesn't matter where you are in life, what you do, you eat food.
You gotta. You so, just gotta.
You just got
You gotta
stuff.
Eat. You gotta eat. So that's what you have to look forward to in season 6. We're going to sign off now and say stay fresh.
COVID bags.
COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Symptoms of this respiratory disease may include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you are experiencing these symptoms and have come in contact with or are in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and/or consult a physician. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.